who now have opportunity to have our hearts and minds lifted and encouraged. And for this, we'll call upon our brother Peter King from the Worcester, UK Ecclesia.
Well, good evening, brethren and sisters. The first job I have to do is one of great happiness for me. I bring you the love and greetings of your brothers and sisters at the Worcester Ecclesia in England. I was charged just before I left to do that, and I do it gladly. It sometimes comes as a surprise to find that there are far more breaking of bread services recorded in the Old Testament than there are in the New Testament. At first reading, that seems odd. And I'm talking really about genuine breaking of bread services where wine and bread are taken in memory of something that has happened, and rejoicing takes place. Far, far more in the Old Testament than there are in the New Testament. And the first one that we have recorded, it gives us principles by which we can interpret all the others. The first breaking of bread service, I'm sure you will know, took place in the days of Abraham, not Abraham yet, took place in the days of Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. You remember the story from your Sunday school days, how that the four kings were dominant over the five kings, and the five kings served the four kings for 13 years and then rebelled. And Chedorlaomer, the leader of the four kings, thrashed the five kings to such an extent that they not only defeated them in battle, but they captured their cities, took everything that was in the cities, including the people and the wealth, and left them empty. And it was told Abraham that his relative Lot, his nephew Lot, calls him his brother, strangely, his nephew Lot had been captured from Sodom and had been taken captive with everybody else. So Abraham armed his 318 servants, untrained for war, you might note, 318 amateurs, really. We don't read of them fighting another battle, before or after. But his 318 servants do to the four kings what the five kings couldn't do. They thrash them. And they bring away all the booty from the cities that they've captured. They bring away all the people. And there's great rejoicing. And on his way home, Abraham is approached by two people. First of all, I suggest to you that he's approached by Bela, the king of Sodom. And he waits to say something fairly important. Genesis chapter 14, if you want it, but I promise you it's there. And he waits to say something important to Abraham. But Abraham is distracted by another man who opens the gate of a city called Salem and comes out with an offering of bread and wine. And he and Abraham hold the first breaking of bread service recorded in the Bible. Just two men, unless Melchizedek brought servants, and he may well have done. And they have an exhortation. And we know what the exhortation was about. I'll tell you in a moment, just to confirm it in your own mind. And Melchizedek exhorts Abraham, and they take bread and wine together. And when the little service is over, Melchizedek goes back into Salem. And now Abraham can turn to talk to the man who wanted to speak to him in the first place, Bela, king of Sodom. And Bela says to Abraham, take all the plunder. Just leave me the persons. I mean, you don't have to be a biblical genius to know why he wanted the persons. He could replace the money easily by trading. Not so the people, and he wanted the people because of his way of life. And Abraham said, I've lift up my hand to the Most High God. He did it during the exhortation. when Melchizedek was exhorting him. Melchizedek would have said, you want to have nothing to do with this man. This man represents filth and everything horrendous to God. Have nothing to do with him. And Abraham said, I promise you I won't. And now he's talking to Bela. And he says, I've lifted up my hands to the Most High God that I won't take anything from you. Not even a bootlace. Lest it should be said, I have made Abraham rich. Save that which the young men have already eaten. They cannot give you that back. But I want nothing else from you. Nothing. And chapter 14 of Genesis closes there, brethren and sisters. And if we're not careful, we miss two very important points. The first is this, that whenever a breaking of bread service takes place in the Bible, and it doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or New, a blessing follows as surely as day follows night. And so we ask ourselves, what was the blessing that came to Abraham as a result of his breaking bread with Melchizedek? That's the first point. The second point is this. Abraham put his life on the line by saying what he did to Bela, the king of Sodom. You see, you cannot say that to a Middle East potentate and get away with it. You can't say it today, much less then. I will remember, if you'll just pardon a personal note, Brother Chairman. Some years ago, I was in exactly the same area as that and did business with a very nice man whom I'd known a long time and had written some very good business with him over the years. And as he talked to me, his wristwatch was exposed, and just as a break in the conversation, I said, that's a lovely timepiece you have. And he took it off and gave it to me. I couldn't accept it. I'm sure it had been in his family for many years. There was Arabic writing on it, which I couldn't decipher. There were jewels in the watch that I thought were valuable, and I'm sure they were. But I couldn't take it off the man. And I said, I'm terribly sorry. It's ever so kind of you. I cannot accept it. What I should have done, of course, he's made a little speech, expressed the hope that he lived for many years and had lots of children. But I didn't. I refused. As a result of which, never did a penny worth of business with that man from that day to this. I'd offended him, you see. Now, Abraham didn't just say, it's very kind of you, but I don't want any money from you. He said, I wouldn't have a bootlace off you. And as a result of which, he put his life on the line. And that's where we are defeated by the wonderful gentleman from Cambridge in England who put this into chapters and verses for us, but he let us down here. If you have your books open, you might like to see that verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15 should be verses 26 and 27 of chapter 14. Keep reading, that's the answer. And if you do, this is what you read. Now it came to pass after these things, that the Lord spoke unto Abraham in a vision and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, I tell you what. Do you see what's being said? Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. Don't worry about this man, Bela. He won't hurt you. I am your shield, and your reward will come from me, not from Sodom. And that sets a principle, brethren and sisters, that wherever you read of a breaking of bread service, Old Testament or New, there follows a blessing as sure as day follows night. Look out for it when you come across them. I mean, we read one 10 days ago, Isaiah chapter 55. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. What preceded that? Eat bread and drink wine without money. Have a breaking of bread service. And the blessing, and I will give you rest unto your souls. It's everywhere. Wherever you read them, look out for them. It makes a wonderful little Bible study to look for breaking of bread services and see the principle that follows. Blessings must follow a breaking of bread service. The next one we come to is in Exodus chapter 18, where Jethro comes to meet Moses. It's a fabulous story. Time will beat us. I shall be talking a lot longer than you want me to if we go into detail of this, but it's just a wonderful chapter. Moses, you see, had seen the vision in the mountain, and he'd come down and he'd told Jethro that he'd seen this bush that didn't expire. And he heard a voice say, take your shoes off and throw your rod down and put your hand into your bosom. And Jethro doubtless would have thought the man is hallucinating. He's been breathing the that's where the word grass comes from, you know. If you travel in that area, you'll be sure as day follows night, you will be asked, you want some grass? You'll be called a chicken when you refuse. Happens all the time. And so Jethro would have thought the poor chap's been inhaling this smoke from the burning bush. Come and lie down. All sorts of things happen when you breathe this stuff. Yes, sticks become snakes, your hands become leprous, and you take your shoes off. And then the voice said, what? Take up the snake by its tail? Nobody takes up a snake by its tail. You're just asking for an injury. But Moses did. And although Jethro must have scorned him just then, he later learned that Moses had actually performed with the power of God what he said he wanted to do and brought his people out of Egypt, and now they camped at Sinai. And so Jethro goes to him, doubtless with an apology. I love the man Jethro. And they break bread together with the elders of Israel. All night they're there, talking and chatting about what happened, how the great miracle was performed. And when they come down from the mountain, Jethro looks at the camp from the height of Sinai and he says, what is all the queue? Why are all these people standing outside your tent? Ah, said Moses, they come to me for judgment. Now watch out for the blessing, brethren and sisters. We've seen the breaking of bread service. Watch out for the blessing, will you? And Jethro said to Moses, that which you do is not wise. You will surely wear out this people and yourself. Put your burden down. Appoint somebody else to judge some of the people. And you judge the hard cases for yourself. Here's a little question for you well-instructed people in Southwest America. What was the one great trait that Moses was told to look out for in the people whom he appointed judges? Jethro told him. He said, appoint judges to judge 1,000 and 100 and 10. And difficult cases do yourself, but put your burden down. And in the people you appoint as judges, just make sure that they are not greedy, that they won't take bribes. And thus he preceded by a whole chapter the giving of the Ten Commandments, of which the tenth is, thou shalt not covet. But the blessing was, put your burden down. And he did, and he lived, and the people benefited. There's a great deal more that could be said, brethren and sisters, about breaking bread service here. I must bring you to at least one more, please. When Ruth the Moabitess came with Naomi, her mother-in-law, to Bethlehem, Judah. She must have been a nervous girl. Ruth chapter 2, if you're going to have a look at it. But it's there, I promise you. She comes home and, well, Naomi comes home. And she says, don't call me Naomi, which means sweetness and pleasantness. Call me Mara, which means bitterness. Nobody ever did. Did you notice that? Of course you did. Nobody ever said, hello, Mara. But there's something about this young girl, Ruth, that captures our attention. Initially, you see, she had no right to be in Israel. God had said to his people at Sinai some years earlier, a Moabite and an Ammonite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. 10 generations must pass before you even consider letting a Moabite or an Ammonite into the congregation of the Lord. Why? Well, because Ammon and Moab are held up as offscouring of the people in God's sight. The children of Lot, by incest with his daughters, have nothing to do with them, says God. A Moabite and an Ammonite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And here is Ruth being brought in. What's gone wrong? You know, had I been on the committee, I may very well have said, well, I'd just like to show you this, the elders of Bethlehem. May I? Just show you these verses, please. I'll show them at least two occasions where God said, have nothing to do with them, and yet you're bringing her in. Oh, isn't it wonderful? God's grace, eh? I mean, how would you rather be judged? By the letter of the law? Or by God's generosity expressed in his grace? By a long, long way. Judge me by grace, please. If you judge me by the law, I am a dead man. But the law is changed. And God is almost hurt to say, I'll change the law and I'm not accountable to you. I made the law, I will change the... Did it for David. David should have been a dead man. He's appointed God's king with a tremendous promise. You can all, if you read between the lines, you can almost hear the prophet, the chronicler saying, God's changed the rules. And he's not accountable to you. He made them and he will change them. And so Ruth comes in. And providentially she is led to glean in the field of Boaz. I'll tell you something about this young lady. She was beautiful. In every sense of the word, I think she was delightful. I mean, just imagine, she comes into the Israel and she marries the most eligible bachelor. Foreigner, a Moabitess, comes and marries Boaz. All the ladies in Bethlehem, Judah, have been hoping for the question to be asked. Will you marry me? And he never did. And he asks Ruth. Oh, the wonder of the grace of our Heavenly Father never ceases to amaze me. And so she gleans. And Naomi asks her where she's been gleaning, and she tells her. And she said, he's a close relative. Stay by him. And the next day, when Ruth comes to glean, Boaz says to his workers, don't hinder her. I know what you fellows are like. You leave that girl alone. And anyway, let some handfuls fall down in front of her. Look after her. And I want a word with her anyway. What do we have here, brethren? We've got Boaz representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Knows all his workers by name. Calls to them every morning. Boaz, Jesus. And we have Ruth, the Gentile ecclesia. She has no right to be there. She shouldn't be there. But she's brought to the footstool of Jesus. Thank God she was. He teaches us so much. And then Boaz says to her, at lunchtime, I want you to come to me. And sit down with me. And he gave her parched corn. You know parched corn? It's corn still on the husk. And it's held over a flame until it's toasted. You blow the husk away and tap the corn out. And there you have it won't satisfy your hunger. As this won't. But there the king giving his bride bread. And he reached for the red wine and he gave it to his bride to be. Bread and wine provided by Boaz, Jesus, to Ruth, the Gentile bride. Bread and wine is taken, you see. Now what is the blessing? Boaz said to Ruth, you won't go into any other field, will you? You stay faithful here by me. And she did. As a result of which she married him. From which came Boaz and Ruth Obed and Jesse and David and the Lord Jesus Christ. All started by a Gentile woman embracing the faith of Israel and being blessed abundantly because she broke bread and drank wine faithfully. What was she remembering? Her release from Moab. What was Abraham celebrating? The defeat of the kings. What was Moses celebrating? Put your burden down. Speaking of which, being down, I think it's time polite speakers just about stopped. I'd like to. You see, I've no real idea how our presider will introduce us to the emblems today. He might choose the easy one, which is Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, because there is a big lesson for us. As they were eating, Jesus took bread. There's so much here, and I must not go down avenues where I have no right to be. As Jesus took bread, he said this, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body," in the version we just read, "which is given for you, is broken for us." The Lord Jesus Christ didn't break a bone. But could you honestly look at him and say, that body has not been broken? He was beaten half to death. Oh, it was broken all right. Stripped to the bone. And yet before then he was able to say, "I'll not drink of this wine any more with you until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." What did he mean by that? He ate bread with them. He ate fish with them, but never drank wine with them after that last supper. And I think, brethren and sisters, the reason is that he's now their high priest. When he came out of the tomb, you remember the people, you smelled just... because the ointment with which he'd been smeared had a great deal to do with that which was applied to the high priest. And so you can just imagine his contemporaries saying, you smell like a priest. He was a priest. He's our priest. And you will remember that way back in the book of Exodus, where the sons of Aaron were locked up in the tabernacle for 10 days while they learned the intricacies of the law. Whew. They had their head in the book all right. 10 days, they didn't come out. When they came out, I'm not judging them adversely. They let their hair down. The word of God says they offered strange fire and were consumed. You will have noticed, of course, that their bodies were consumed, but not their coats. Now there's a strange thing. And the answer is, of course, it's the person that's being killed, not the office that's being ruined. And so Nadab and Abihu were killed by the Lord. And immediately after that, you read, "Now God said to Moses and to Aaron, when a priest is on duty, he must not drink any strong drink." So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples, "I'm your priest now. So I'll eat bread with you, but I won't drink wine with you. Because I want to fulfill perfectly the role of a priest." And he did. And so in Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus Christ is heard to say to us, "Take this bread and the wine and drink it." It's a memorial service. Now what's the blessing? Well, we just read it. Matthew chapter 26. "Eat this bread and drink this wine for the forgiveness of your sins." By God's grace and with your patience, brethren and sisters, I want to develop that in maybe one or two of our little studies in the week. So we'll leave it at that for now. But I'm never cease to be amazed that we don't talk more often about the forgiveness of sins coming as a result of our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is Jesus saying, yes, a faithful memorial service, take bread and drink wine for the forgiveness of your sins. And a person who has their sins forgiven has the great barrier to worship removed and can come into the very presence of God our Father through the office of our High Priest, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.